Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Just for a few moments, saints, we'd like to consider this as you think about our experience today, because there's some, again, who came early and we're still not satisfied. We came early to the house. And amen, I mean that in a good way. We came in early to the house for prayer and seeking the Lord. And so we're going throughout our worship experience, but there's still more in store. And the psalmist says, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. So I'm going to ask you a question. Think in mind, what do you do when you need a refill? What do you do when you need a refill? Now, that's not something that's unusual when the culture we live in, and this is not always, again, we hating on nothing, but they know, again, that we are in constant need of replenishing ourselves. Ain't that right? Matter of fact, some folks, maybe you might even had to drink a Red Bull to make it out. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. They have these energy drinks to seek to replenish your system, to hydrate you. Amen. So you can keep going. And now it's summertime, all the more. Amen. But and again, we didn't say or that all of us bad, even though you got to watch out for some of those things. Hey, some of them have too much sodium or sugar in them. Yes, ain't that right? Yes, but then you can certainly manage it when you drink. There's nothing better than water. Right. Ain't that right? Yes, some that don't even cost you nothing. But even with that, there's sometimes in some ways where in life, those things won't help you. They can get you going physiologically. That means in terms of your body, that inner relationship with how we're made. It can, you know, get you a little boost, so to speak. But when you are in trouble, or when you're troubled, no amount of Red Bull is going to help you. Ain't that right? When your heart is overwhelmed, when you are suffering through tragedy, when something is going through you again that is weighing you down, you need more than an energy drink. Ain't that right? As a matter of fact, if you hold on for a few minutes, I'll tell you about one. Amen. But the psalmist here, which as we walk through this again, and I try to help us to see that this is a chronological thing here, that this psalm is not just a set of itemizations of things. That when you itemize something, you put one, two, three, but they are together. They're connected. There is a stream, a flow, a connectivity to the psalm here. It's a flow or a stream of life. And again, we mentioned in our prayer this morning that we are pilgrims and strangers. But life is not always seamless. That means it don't always work like that. It's not always a straight line. I know when I came again, before when we learned about being a Christian, and I found this out by experience as well as by deduction. That means when just teaching it to show that the Christian life, sometimes there's some ups and some downs, and everything is not doing like this. You don't go straight up. You can talk about you pressing for the mark all you want to, and you should be, but sometimes along the way, you're going to get marked up. Amen. And everything ain't going to be just like that. You're going to be, as the pastor used to say, you go like this. Amen. Ain't that right? And sometimes you go like that. You look like the Dow Jones ad or something like that. You know, your life is just up and down. But I'm here to say and here to tell you that even if that occurs, and that will occur to some degree or another, it's just good to know, amen, brothers and sisters, that God has a refill. Because I looked at this, and again, this interrelationship in the psalm, when the psalmist gets down to this place here, after having informed us about how God is still in the business of setting up for you a banquet, a smorgasbord, in spite of those who are trying to do you wrong. Again, this is the psalmist says that he sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But he's not done serving. Are y'all with me here? He's not done serving. Because he says, thou anointest my head with oil. You understand what I'm saying? That anoint my head with, but then he goes further. He said, and my cup runs over. See, now, contemporarily and culturally wise, there is a little tag, a little something here connected, because even when he did walk the sheep, when the shepherd took the sheep out, there are times when he had to pause and do some remedial work with the sheep. And remedial means to fix, to repair, to help, to make something there. No, and sometimes the sheep got all in something. And, you know, sometimes there was insects or something, whatever it was. He might even got bit or some kind of thing that happened where he brushed up against some thorn. And the shepherd was there. And sometimes oil seed was a medicinal property. Are y'all following me here? Come on, because when you read your Bible, oil's going to pop up all over the place. And you got to understand how it means in Scripture. And here, even with the sheep, he would provide some medicinal work to the sheep in terms of balm that they would put on it. And amen. And they didn't have Band-Aids, you know. They didn't have none of that stuff. They didn't have some of the stuff that we have today. But he would do that for the sheep. But I'm telling you because, number one, that is only part of the thing. Yeah, we need God to buff us up sometimes. Amen. We need the Lord to give us, like the scripture said, he's a balm in Gilead. But see, the oil is not only just for that. The oil has all sorts of reason for how it's used. And we need to understand about that when you look at scripture so that we don't misapply what the Bible is saying. Because the psalm, he anointeth, notice what he does. Notice where the origination is and the properties when they come down. He said, he anointeth my head with oil. That means, you understand? In other words, he starts at the top. He anointeth my head with oil. Now oil, certainly, again, if you look at it, it comes from the olive tree. And the olives, and if you were to look at your customs and things of the Bible, and it's good to do that because, again, you see this tattoo throughout Scripture that the olive tree would grow, and, you know, there was seasons for it. And then in the early part of the season, before the harvest when you reaped what was grown. Y'all need to work with me here. The early part, you would get those things, and as with anything, when little flowers come up and the olive tree would start to come up a little bit, and then the olive, that's the thing, that's where you get this thing from. The olive will come, but it's not as ripe as it is early on in the springtime. But if you wait a little while, again, as the seasons go by, then as you start getting further down, they start to get a little darker and ripe, almost to the point of being super ripe. But that's when the harvest comes. And in the harvest, they would take the olive. Amen. They would take the olive off the vine. And sometimes if they're on a tree, they would take a stick and beat the olives off the tree. Then they would take it to the place where they would grind over the olive. And that's how you get the oil out of the olive. Yeah. Now, olives also was used for food. That's right. They use it with their food. They use the oil out of the olives, and they use it when they use it for eating, for food. Are y'all following me here? But the lion's share of the use of the oil, well, when you look in Scripture and you see how it's used in times of consecration. Amen. That's why you have this connection here about anointing. See, anointing, again, and you hear it a lot, particularly in Christianity, you hear this anointing. But you better make sure that you know what God is talking about. Because you might be putting something on your head, you don't know what's going to come down. Amen. You know, you understand what God is saying, because it's more, brother. Listen, it's more than just what you hear. Because when it talks about the anointing, that's a word, number one, it's a word of consecration. In the Bible, God would anoint the prophet, the priest, and the king. That means they were anointed or consecrated for specific work on behalf of the Lord. Are y'all following me here? Then the anointed also was used in terms of how it was applied. Anoint means to smear or to rub. They would literally do that, either smear or rub. And matter of fact, even in the Old Testament, when you look at the anointing, not only did they use the anointing oil, which they poured over the people, but they also would even anoint the tabernacle, the place of worship. Come on, I'm going to get back to that in a minute. But let me just throw this little caveat in here. See, even though we don't worship the pulpit wood, we don't worship the deacon's chair, we don't worship the pews, we don't worship the furniture or the stained glass, we are not what you call iconoclasts. That means with Roman Catholicism in the Middle Ages, they worshiped the stained glass and the people's picture that was in the stained glass. We don't worship that. But however, when you come into the house of the Lord, brothers and sisters, these things, if they're appropriate, they remind you of things about God, even though they are not God. You don't get sacrilegious when you come to church. You don't put your foot up on a seat while you're in the house of God. Ain't that right? You don't put a sandwich on the communion table, even though Christ ain't in the table. Because these things are reminders, are teaching tools about what God has done on our behalf. Are y'all with me here? But praise God, listen to me now, before some of y'all New Testament Christians say that's the Old Testament. Well, you won't understand the New Testament if you don't read the Old Testament. Yes, amen. The Old Testament is a figure, a shadow, a typology thing that teaches you certain things about God in form so that when you come to the New Testament, when it comes to Christ, you already know and get a precursor of what Jesus is all about. But this oil thing here, I'm trying to work with this here, but this oil, so you would pour the oil on the head. Now, listen to me. Now, could you just check this out for a minute? It's not, when you visualize it, it's not always neat. In other words, when they pour the oil on the head, the oil would be poured on the head, then it would run down. That's where Psalm 133 comes from. Oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren together dwell together in unity. But see, we stop right there. But then if you keep reading, it said how it poured the oil and it came down on Aaron's head and all the way down to his beard. Y'all wasn't reading that, would you? See, the oil don't stop. In other words, it looked like it's messy. But see, that's how it is sometimes. When you come to worship God, sometimes things get messy. What you mean, Pastor? You mean, you know, messy. That don't sound kind of holy there when you talk about this. What I mean is this, that when the Lord starts working here, are you in? When the Lord starts moving and when the Lord starts doing something, amen, you can't come in here and think, amen, this is some kind of semi-formal. I mean, you ought to wear the appropriate thing when you come to the house of God. And I'm not talking about, and it's not here to deal with that kind of thing. We're not here to make it be a cultural dress up and down kind of thing. What I am saying is this, that when you come here, brother and sister, you got to understand, we're here to praise God. I'm not here to show or be a show off and just thank you because I came here and showed up. No, I came here because God is going to show off. And when God gets started, I said, when God gets started, I might need some room. My brother, Pastor Morgan, he used to come and he said, listen, are you on the praise pew? Ain't that what he said? And I said, oh, come on, what do you mean by that? That's right, because listen here, you got to know that you know that you know. If you're the kind of person that you only say amen or praise God when you see somebody else do it, then you in the wrong service.